What would I say to them?
What would you want to say, like, for anybody who, you know, is not following the public health measures?
Well, I think it goes, like, socially, like, I understand why people are missing the things they miss. We've had a long haul here since March, and our lives have been turned upside down. Things have been taken away, and a lot of the things people do for fun have been taken away. And as people, we need those things, right? So, I mean, we've moved up in levels, and things have opened back up, and we've been given a little bit more of that freedom back. And now that it's starting to get taken away again, I definitely understand why people are going against some of the rules, right? Because how good those things feel. But I think, you know, living here on Six Nations, we're a community that is very different. And I think we're very strong. And we're, when it comes down to it, we look out for each other and we put those things aside. Those differences, you know, those squabbles or old, you know, history with neighbors or other family. I mean, when the stuff in Caledonia happened, everyone united and went down there. And COVID doesn't have a face, and we're not, it's something we can't see, but it's something we need to battle together just like we did in those times and come together. So I think we're supposed to think collectively like that. And it's selfish behavior, but I'm understanding why people are doing it. But people need to put aside that selfishness and think about the betterment of the community and have that more of a community lens in mind. I mean, it's not, yeah, I might not get sick from it, but my friend's grandma might, or my cousin's aunt, or my neighbor, or someone in the community. It might affect them if they get it, even though, you know, I'm young and I'm healthy and it won't affect me. I'll be okay. I might get sick, but I'll be okay. Well, some people might not. And we had, you know, we did have one death in the community so far, and my condolences to that family. I'm thankful it's only stopped at one, but it's scary to know we have a lot of elders and a lot of people that are immune compromised, and the spread could affect these people. And I don't want anyone, whether they're a friend or someone I don't know, anyone in the community to suffer a loss, because it's very painful.
And it can, and younger people can get it too, right? And we don't know what the effects might be on them. Maybe they don't have underlying health conditions or chronic conditions, but it could still affect their body very seriously. Anybody can die from this. Anybody could have these lingering health effects. Anybody could be long haulers of this, having the effects for months and months even, right?
Yep, and even if you've had it, like I've been told, oh, you're immune now. You know, there's no proof of that, so I still follow like I've never had it, you know, just the same. I'm not walking around like I'm Superman now, like I can't be affected. I don't believe they know enough yet to who can get it and who can't after having it, so
absolutely
treating it just the same.
In fact, they're saying that you can get reinfected by it.
Well, that's good news. That's great news to hear.
Right, yeah. I know. It's unfortunate. So
yeah, I expected that anyways.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you work in, Six Nations Mental Health and Addictions. So are you seeing an impact on mental health in your workplace interactions with the community that is tied directly to COVID-19?
I'm seeing an impact for sure. I mean, I can't say if it's directly a result, but I would put money on that it is. Like, I would strongly suspect. I mean, we have a clientele that is a high risk or moderate risk or low risk, we would say, and all of those levels have increased. So, you know, a low risk is now a moderate, moderate's high, and a high risk person might need more check-ins, more care, more phone calls than they had previously. So definitely an increase in general in the public's, you know, anxiety and fear. And I mean, stuff still happens, right? I mean, my condolences to the families affected by the car accident the other day. Prayers go out to their families and sending good thoughts their ways. You know, other things are happening still. Drug use, Family violence, domestic violence, all these things are continuing, and it's definitely putting people at higher risk in those situations, having to stay at home and not being able to go to the outlets that they can. So, I mean, there's ripple effects, right, from something like this. So it's something that we're taking into account, though, at mental health and health services, and we've identified this early. I think Six Nations has done a really good job offering support, you know, our assessment center. I think we were ahead of the game, and people just need to not get lax and continue to push through this. Yeah, maybe we're 3-4 more months, like, you know, with this isolating stuff, but let's hope 2021's better and we can get back to a normal life, if you call it that.
So you do think that COVID-19 is serious? And we're going into our second wave now, so...
I would say yes, it is serious, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you experienced any stigmas or prejudice or backlash from people because you had COVID-19?
For sure. When I first was diagnosed, however it got out, I don't know, but people knew the name, and I had Facebook messages, phone calls from people I don't know saying, are you Roy Thomas that has COVID? were you here? You know, asking me questions, and that was kind of in the time where I was most sick, too, mm-hmm. So I was a little irritable. I'll admit, on the phone with them, didn't want to answer their questions, and it was, you know, I want to, since we're on the air, I want to set the record straight. I did not hand out bread and cheese. I don't know where that rumor came from, that Brody Thomas handed bread and cheese out and infected everyone. I had nothing to do with bread and cheese. In fact, I didn't even receive bread and cheese this year. So I just want to put that rumor to rest, too. That was one of them. But it was funny at the time, but, like, when you think about it, hearing these rumors, you know, someone the other day mentioned it to me. Weren't you the guy that had out bread and cheese? And I got a little annoyed because, you know, you hear a rumor over and over again. It's like, no, that was a rumor. And it was a little frustrating. And then I guess afterwards, when I was cleared, people seeing you in the community, are you supposed to be out? You know, are you good to be out? Do you still have it? Or just turning around and walking away. A lot of friends and not asking, you know, to hang out, or, you know, I like to golf, and I didn't have anyone asking me to golf, and kind of just treated kind of like a leper, right? Just
I was gonna say, like a leper,
people,
yeah.
Staying away. Oh, that's the guy that had it, and not understanding. But it was hard not to take it personal. But I think when you're isolating for so long, that's what you're craving, right? Is that interaction. And the normal, you know, hang out with a buddy, doing, you know, laughing and joking around, and you're craving that. And when people are avoiding you after a traumatic experience, it does hurt. I mean, people go to their initial instinct of survival right away, right? He has it. I want to protect my family and myself, so I'm going to stay away. And I understand that, but... it does have an impact on people that have had it, you know, when you don't get to do those things, but you want to.
Right.
I want people just to treat me normal, and I want to do normal things, and no one seems to want to do that with me. So now I'm isolating, you know, again.
Even more.
Yeah, though I don't need to.
So everybody, Brody Thomas is well and alive, and he's ready to play golf or get together with his
friends in a safe way. Yeah.
So, you know, it sounds like the self-isolating, you know, did extend itself once you were well. That does make it difficult. And privacy issues, especially while you're sick, right? So really important that we try to respect one another if we do end up getting sick from this, and... you know, giving people their privacy and respecting their privacy and identity. So another question here I have for you is, there's quite a bit of misleading and misinformation all over the online world, you know, especially social media, like conspiracies about COVID-19 not being real, misleading therapeutics or misleading cures. Having firsthand experience of being infected with the virus, what do you say to this?
Well, I would say it's untrue. I try to stay away from the news as much as I can, but from what I've read on social media, you know, I have even people on my friends list saying, you know, it's a conspiracy and all that. And I mean, I would tell them, you know, go say that to the family that's lost someone. Go tell them it's not real. Or go tell someone that was on a ventilator, tell their family that it's a conspiracy. You know, it's, to me, I mean, it's ridiculous, but, you know, I had it. It was serious.